I don't know, what do you say? Do I have to correct it or can I just make it, leave it a mistake? I quoted, I think Sunday, I quoted a Zohar on this week's Parsha. That's the Shabbos Parsha. The Parsha says that the Bnei Yisrael, when they went out of Mitzrayim, they were depressed. Then, and Hashem had to give them the chamav. And Onocham and Okim, he's Hashem, Anchosam Baderach, I'm sorry, Anchosam Baderach, and Hashem gave them a nechama. Also says, like, he is Oshen Tsar, shout. So I read the Zohar that they were depressed because they were, they ended their profession. As it says, when anyone has a hard job and then it ends, so then he gets depressed. So I read it that because they lost their identity. That's how I read it. But I see that the people who quote the Zohar learn differently. The very fascinating chat, but it's not like I said it. They learned that they were depressed because calls mind that a person's in a problem, there's some kind of defense mechanism that you don't let it bother you. Because when a person's in a concentration camp, so in order to survive, you turn off your emotions. So you don't, it doesn't bother you. But when you leave the concentration camp and then you get what's it called? Freed, there's a word, I forgot the word for it.
Liberated.
Liberated. So then a person relives all the sorrow and then he gets depressed. So that's what how they learned the Zohar. That the when Klai Zohar Mitzrayim, in order to survive, they had to stop their, they didn't get upset about all the terrible things. They would have gotten upset about all the terrible things. They would have gotten depressed and they don't, and then you can't function. And they just get, so you know, there's like a defense mechanism that protects you, that didn't let them get upset. So they were actually, according to the Zohar, the way they learned the Zohar, people were less happy when they left Mitzrayim than when they were in Mitzrayim. Because in Mitzrayim, anything bothered them. Nothing bothered them. When they left Mitzrayim, they were bothering them. And it says in some of the Mephoreshim there that's why the minhag is that we ate matzah and then maror. The Rambam apparently says that maror should come before the matzah. But we do matzah and maror because the tsar of the maror was only felt after the geula. That's what they basically. So it's a different shah in the Zohar than I quoted it. I apologize for a mistake. It's also a very interesting Zohar, but it's not the way I said it.
It's fascinating.
Okay. No, it's an alter. It's you can't. It's not a muhrach mahalach.
No, but it seems that that's how everyone learns it. I did one of these searches on the computer and looked at all the different mephoreshim of the Zohar. And everyone learns that the lashon of the Zohar can be read either way. That is true. But all the mephoreshim learn the Zohar, not like me. So I think that's, I'm assuming, I'm assuming they're all right, that it's not because they lost their, they were upset they lost their identity. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that they didn't feel the sorrow in Mitzrayim. That he is lashon tsar, because they only allowed their feelings to come out when they left Mitzrayim. Okay. It was a very interesting shot, but it's not what I said. You know, I have to admit. Definitely a lot of psychology in there. A lot of fascinating psychology that a person can be more sad when he gets the Geula. He says they were more sad when they got the Geula. They were sad about the Mitzrayim only when they got the Geula. But that's how the people, the Mephoreshim, are all learning it. And when they were Mitzrayim, they didn't feel sorrow about being in Mitzrayim. I mean, I don't say not at all. It says they davened, but it wasn't as much. It became unbearable when they left Mitzrayim. Because then they remembered everything and they were reliving it, and it was much worse. Okay, anyway, just correct my mistake. But I guess we're learning Zohars. And happens to be, Zohars, I never read Zohars, but Zohars are pretty fascinating. I have this sefer that I bought in the Lakewood Farm used bookstore that cuts out from the Zohar pieces in Zohar that are not Api Kabbalah. That are being, you know, there's a lot
The Nicholas Zohar sefer?
It's called Medrash Shmuel Zohar Leket Shmuel. I don't know. That's what I have.
And my father uses Nicholas Zohar.
He just takes out the pieces that are Biderech HaPshat, and then he has a translation in Hebrew, so you don't even have to understand the Aramaic. And it's very interesting. A lot of very, very, the Zohar has a lot of very interesting pshatim. But Rav Zon, that's how I knew about Rav Zon, Rav Shachta Zon, he's the owner of Zohar, has a sefer, a Musar sefer, on the Midrashim of the Zohar, because he used them as shmuzim. He said, you know, that typical, like we say shmuzim on the Medrash, so he says shmuzim on the Zohar, because he's not saying on the Zohar that are Kabbalistic. Could be he was into the Kabbalah too. You know, and I suspect he was. He used to always walk around with a Zohar in his hands. But he says he wrote a whole Sefer called Sefer HaZohar, which I happen to have at home, which is not quote, that's only quotes the non-Kabbalistic pieces in the Zohar, and then he says shmuzim on them. So, okay, anyway. Like, I mean, we know the Rishiva has a shmuz on the Zohar, that the Meraglim, the reason why they were Moise Diba, because they didn't want to lose their position. Right, that's come to Zohar. There are Zohars that are not Kabbalistic. Not every Zohar is Al-Pi Kabbalah. Apparently, a lot of them are not. Okay, anyway, let's go to this new sugya. When I have a recollection of this new sugya, I'll just make an introduction. When I was in the Blatcher, that was seven cycles ago, we did Ishatkes. And my recollection is, I assume we started after Sukkos. I assume. Can't say for sure, but that's what I assume. They went to Hanukkah. I'm not sure. Maybe we started doing it. Maybe we did another sugya before. So maybe it was the second sugya. I don't know. Maybe it was the second sugya. But it went to Hanukkah. And my recollection, I have a very strong recollection on this sugya, is that those who remember the Rishiva's Balad share, the Rishiva used to would believe very much that you have to get the flow of the sugya. Every sugya has its own music. So the Rishiva would read through the whole sugya very slowly and scratch on every Rashi and every Tisis and every tangent. And he would spend a day here and a day there and a day there until after, and basically for the first 2 weeks, you were just doing side marmikaimis basically, and nothing was adding up. And then after 2 weeks, maybe sometimes even more, then he would say, okay, now we did the whole sugya. Now we can go back and try and focus on what seems to be the ikkar. But he would first spend 2, maybe even 3 weeks on, you know, just going through the sugya. And very often you'd be spending a day or two on a totally side point, and then you spend another 2 days on a different side point, whatever. So I remember in the sugya of Ishatkes, I don't remember what it was, but the guys prepared before the shir, and there was some maramakum that was really an ikar maramakum. And the first day of the shir, someone brought up that maramakum, and we did it in shir. And I remember I was so excited that finally, instead of having to wait 2 weeks to get into the crux of the sugya, the first day of the sugya, we're already discussing what the svara is. The svara doesn't make sense. And, you know, we're managed getting into what in my, and maybe I was young, but what seemed to me like we're hitting the core of the sugya instead of the side points. And sure enough, Rashida comes in the next day, second day, and says that, listen, we can't continue what we were doing yesterday, because first we have to go through the whole sugya. So we basically put it on ice, and we started doing all the side things. We spent a few weeks, and then Rashida came in the yard side chair, and then Rashida went off to Israel. And the last day, before Rashida left, he says, and now we can go back and answer what we got stuck on the first day, but I don't have time to tell you because I have to go to Israel. And he told Rav Dovin Harris, drove him to the airport, and he told Rav Dovin Harris what he wanted to say, and that's when Rav Dovin had told us a little bit, and that was it. So we never got back to the main part of the sugya. It was such a disappointment. But okay, anyway, right, that's my recollection of Ishatkes. So let's do the Gemara, okay? And Abshita Bizachar Zeh. So the Gemara says the case has to be that Moklan Echad must be that he sold the three fields Bizachar Zeh. So Maishla Shlosha, the Kokan, the Khanam Renati, the Moklan, the Gosimano. Hi, Nami, I called the name in Akinamakam, Dignus Emmanuel. So he sold him three fields to one person, and Bizachar Zeh. So when he sold them, first he edges. So the Sheba went off the Idris and went to the Bainanis. And when he sold them the Bainanis, the Sheba went off the Bainanis, went to the Ziburis. So Enoch Inami, at the end, he bought the Ziburis. But already the Sheba was transferred to the Ziburis. So he should tell the all three people they can all go collect from the Ziburis. Right? That's the Gemara's Kasha. Just like three different people, we say that Sheba is transferred to the Ziburis. Because once you buy one, the Sheba goes off. Because you're in Chosim Shibadim and Makam Shesh B'nai Chayrim. So here also, once this one person bought one and two, the Sheba went off because it was still B'nai Chayrim. There's different Sheba was transferred to the Ziburis. And just because he bought Ziburis at the end, there's no reason why retroactively the Sheba goes back. But we never saw such a thing. That Shibudim jumped back. Once the Sheba went off, the Sheba went off. So that's the Gemara's Kasha. Maisha shows you to call Kad the Kadamre Nakti Chamokam Nikas Mimanu. Hai Namia Kokod the Kodam Amen Nakti Chamokam Nikas Mimanu. So the Gemara says, Hoki Maes Kinin, Shkion Shaloka Idis Bakraina. Kainam Rav Sheshes, Go Shaloka Idis Bakraina. Now the Gemara doesn't explain what that does. So what if Lakach Idris B'Achrayna? So the Gemara asks, I don't know I don't think there was a Havamina. I mean, the Havamina Pashas is what they're going to say later. So what's the, so what? So granted, so why can't they all now go ahead and collect from Idris? Because that's where the Sheba was cow. Shum the Amrelei. So here comes the Svara that we, this is really, it comes in. If you keep quiet and I let you give you each of yours according to your din, so then be happy. Because otherwise, I'll go ahead and give the shtar back the mari. And then you'll go ahead and all get ziburis. Okay. This is $1 million shayla. Right, maybe that's why I remember this sugya was different, because $1 million shayla that this svara makes absolutely no sense. So that's why you can right away, you can get right into it in the beginning of this sugya. First, before we start, what does this far mean? Madrinan Shtara Ziburis Amare. Does that mean that he's gonna make believe that he gave it, that it's back to the Mari, or he's gonna sell it back to the Mari?
I mean, simply speaking, it needs to mean he's gonna sell it. Otherwise, I'm saying he's gonna give it. Why? That's like, it's not even.
He's gonna make believe.
You could go plow the field with salt too. I'm saying, like, it's not. What's the significance of giving it?
No, I'm gonna play a trick. I'm gonna make believe that I never bought it, and therefore you'll have to collect from the Buddhist.
If you make believe that you never bought it, then you lose the value. Why would you do it?
I'm gonna make a deal with the, with the person. You're going to come ahead and collect the field from me. And I'm not going to get reimbursed because the seller that I sold, bought it from, probably has no money left. So I'm going to play a trick.
The guy has no money now. He's not like,
it's, okay, I'm going to make, I'm just saying the two choices. You want to have an opinion, you have an opinion, but this, I don't think it's
any. Yes, I'm asking, is a simple starting point though. Simply speaking,
let me just present the two choices. The question, when he says, Madrinan Shtar the Ziburis and Mare, does that mean I'm going to sell the Ziburis back to the Mare? Or it means I'm going to make believe like I never bought it? Okay. So Shamir says that it's ridiculous to make believe that he never bought it because that would hurt it. Okay, I hear. What does anyone else say? I'm just curious. Okay, everyone agree with you?
To say I'm going to sell it back to him, then I need him to agree to it.
Right.
How do we know that he's going to agree that I can have this tie now automatically?
In other words, Parshat Shad is the reason why the guy sold it. And he doesn't, you know, he sold it because and he needed the money. And if I care, the guy's broke. And that's why he's, when the Baal Chovos are coming, if he was smart, he wouldn't buy it because he'll buy it, just the Baal Chovos will collect from it. So I hear that. In other words, it sounds like from the Rishonim, you know, we'll have to see. We didn't get into the story, but definitely the Rush and the Yosef say that part of the time of Ishatkes is based on the fact that I have the Vadai, I would Vadai do this. Right? Someone says that. And I would Vadai, I think the Rush says that. I would Vadai do it. So Sandy, I would Vadai do it. You know, you might Vadai want to do it, but maybe there's a 50% chance or a very good chance that the original seller who is now the buyer is not going to be cooperative.
Right? Again, I made a contract with him to buy the property. I'm losing out because now the property is being taken away because it's Baal Chovos. So therefore, I presume that the Svara is that he will cooperate with me in buying the property back from me, and I will accept a chov for him to pay back the value of the property.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know. I suspect you're not in business.
No, I don't know. Okay.
In business, I think the guy. If you're in business, the seller would say, "Tough luck on you." And you bought the property. I got the money. I declare bankruptcy.
And
you pay the nechovos, and I go ahead and walk up with the money because I
again
I go to have a blast in the.
I'm not saying that I'm going to get money right now. I say I'm going to sell it to him on credit. I'm going to sell him back the Ziburis, and he's going to owe me X amount of dollars for the value of the credit. It's no different than the Baal Chovos that he has.
Okay, maybe I'll sell it to him on credit. Okay, I don't know. Okay, I don't know.
If this whole thing is just as a koch tainer as chus, why do we care if he could actually execute it in practice?
I know. Well, first of all, we don't know what the koch tainer as chus is right now.
But that's all it is.
We don't know where to start the sugya. The sugya is that the story doesn't make any sense. So I can't work with based on what the svara is. Therefore, proves I don't know what the svara is. So before I start working on the svara, I just want to know because you know the svara pasha doesn't make. I guess I could. So you could, but you didn't. Like very nice, you could. So I don't know what this svara is.
The convention
is
that
I just want to know what he's saying. Is he saying that I could sell it, or is he saying that I could make believe? That's just a simple question.
What is
it can't be that he can return it, that if the land gets taken away from him, then he can return it.
He can return it. I don't know what he had his hands on it. Was this like a chest that you can take your piece back? There's no such thing as when you buy something, you can return it.
What's the lashon of Mahajan Shtara?
Transaction.
What?
What's the lashon of Mahajan Shtara? Doesn't that imply something like returning or undoing the transaction?
Mahajan and Shtara, so what does that mean? How can you undo the transaction? You have no right to back down. The stock market crashes. You can back down. You know, you made a bad investment. How can you undo the, you know, the Kenyan? I never.
Wait, what's the other shot? What's the other possibility?
The possibility is that I'm going to make believe like I never bought it. I'm going to hide the star. I'm going to be Mahadrin and star. Anything, if you ask me, even though Shamir is giving me a hard time, but the Lashon of the Gemara, now I happen to agree that maybe people don't say it like this, maybe. But the Lashon is definitely much more Mahadrin. It doesn't say that I'm going to sell it back. And if I sell it back, you don't Mahadrin in the star. You get a new star. You know, if I sell it back, then it's not, you know, the way you sell it back is you have to write up a brand new contract. I buy a house. Now I decide I want to sell the house back to the buyer, to the seller. You don't give them back the old shtar. You have to write up a new shtar. So the language Mahadrinin Shtara de Ziburis Amore is a very, very wrong language. So the language Mahadrinin Shtara de Ziburis Amore sounds like that I'm going to hide the fact that I bought it. How does everyone know that I bought it? That I have
a shtar? Therefore, how would that affect?
I mean, how does someone do
how
that?
How would that help?
We don't know what this time is. Superficially, this kind of sounds like some kind of blackmail. That you better go ahead and accept, you know, what I'm offering you, because otherwise I'm going to do this. So the blackmail, you know, blackmail doesn't always have to be I'll be din. Blackmail could be blackmail that I'm going to do something illegal. I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to make believe. Listen, I'm offering you bananas. You're smart. You better take it. Because if you don't take it, you know what I'm going to do? I'll fix your wagon. I'll make believe like I never bought the Zeburis. And then you're going to have to collect the Zeburis. So it's
black. In reality, that you can, meaning it's not true. Meaning it will never actually pan out.
I'm saying this as a possibility. I'm not saying it's an MS of shot. Please.
No, but I'm saying, but even according to this shot, but according to this shot, that
yeah, the words are massive.
But that blackmail is not really that it will never actually be able to play out, but it's a blackmail in theory, but it will never actually be able to be because it's a fake. It's fake, and he'll never actually be able to collect on the Zeburis. Meaning, is that what this pshat? I'm not saying this is.
I'll go ahead. I'll make a deal with the original seller. I'll tell him that listen, let's make believe like I never bought it. He's gonna go ahead, and he doesn't care. He has nothing to lose. Maybe the people will all collect from the Zeburis. And everyone will be happy, so to speak. And there's not everyone, but the two buyers, you know, the two, the buyer and the seller, not the Ba'alei Chovos, will be, you know, they'll be happy. The original seller will get the three Ba'alei Chovos off his back. I'll get them all to the Zeburis, and everyone will be happy. So I can blackmail you. Since I can blackmail you, so you better accept what I might offer. Now,
why is that hiding? Or why is that pretending? He's just giving it back, basically.
No, right? He's not giving it back. He doesn't. He's not really giving it back. He doesn't like Shamir.
They can collect from. They can collect from. Yes,
in the beginning, he doesn't want to give up his bibis because then he loses the karka. He doesn't want to. He's not. I'm going to give a present to the original seller.
Rebbe said they could collect from it. Rebbe said they could collect from it.
Right. So, but he'll still have a, you know, a halachic taina on the original seller that he still owes him the money if he ever gets his money back. Because right now the guy has no money, but maybe like in 10 years from now he'll have money. So I don't think I'm not saying he wants to give him a present because he's maybe hoping. And he will eventually get money, but he's going to play a trick. Meanwhile, we'll make believe it's yours. They'll collect from you. And then if in 10 years from now you get money, then you pay me back for the field because your Baal Chov collected from my property. And, you know, that's better than I'm not going to give it to you because then I lose the property completely. So it's my dream, and
Shamir said that it's like selling it on credit.
I'm not selling it on credit. No, I'm not saying I'm selling credit. I'm learning shot in my. I'm not really learning shot this way, but I'm saying the words are mashma that I'm not selling it. You don't when you return the shtar. That's not how you sell something. You don't sell something by returning the shtar. He's saying that I'm gonna do monkey business. I'm gonna make believe like I never bought it. I'm going to hide. I'm going to take this shtar that I bought it and throw it in the garbage. I'm going to hide it. I'm going to make believe that I never bought it. And then you're going to be stuck and you're going to have to collect from Zeburis.
So hey, Rabbi,
do I even need the mocher on board to be able to do this?
No, you don't need the mocher on board. No. Or the maibshat that answers your problem. The mocher has no say in the matter. I'm going to go ahead and hide the shtar when the people come to me to collect, I say, well, what do you want from me? Go to the first guy. He still has Zeburis. You know, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do, I only bought bananas and idiots from him. The Zeburis is still there. B'nai Chayrim, go back, go take his Zeburis. I deny that I ever bought it.
Why do we have to go to that step that we're saying is that it's monkey business? Then he's saying that he never ever took possession. Why can't he say if it's all a scam that what he's saying, and it's all words, but it's not in reality, that why can't it be what Shamir said, that he's going to tell the guy that I'm going to give it back to him for free in his possession? And that's a much better scare, because I'm not going to steal from you. I'm going to tell you, I'm threatening you that you want to play games with me. I'm going to give it back to him for free.
I'll call you bluff.
Sandy,
I'm quite right.
Sandy, then maybe the other guy won't play the game. Maybe
but that's a risk that
doesn't want to do that, because he's happy. He's very happy with the fact that the Mishubad, that the gold of Baal HaChayves collect from the other guy, you know, gets them off his back.
I'm giving it to you for free. Meaning, why does he care? If I go to the guy, I'll give it to you for free. You don't have to give me a penny.
He's not going to want to do that. He's not going to want to give it to them for free.
The language. First of all, why would he get that free? Then he loses.
He's saying it. He's not actually going to give it back to free.
The guy's going to tell him, go ahead.
He's not
going to
call his bluff.
The guy's going to tell him, you're not going to do it, because you lose the whole field. If you're going to do that, you lose the whole field.
Yeah, I don't know. And a nice
the
only reason why I want to say that, Chuck, is I think it fits better in the words. And the Madrina and Shtar are saying, when you sell it, you don't give them back the Shtar, you write a new one. So the language, and happens to be, I mean, I'm pretty sure there are people that say, like Shamir, that it means he sells it. But I'm just don't know.
Would selling create the Shiva back by the seller?
The language of Madrinan Shnarayu, the Marai, Shnaradirin Marayu, to me, the words, I'm obviously not insisting, because there are people that say not like that. I did a little research, and I didn't see anyone that said like me, and I saw someone that said like Shamir, but I
think
the word that of Madrinan, what I'm sorry, what did you say?
I believe there is someone who says like Rebbe. They use the language of Kavishna the Shtara. I mean, that the language of being Kovish the Star is used by a Rishon out there.
And the word Madrina Shtara Mare does not mean that it's and that sounds like monkey business. Because if you're really transferring ownership, the way you transfer ownership is by writing a brand new Star. You don't reuse the old Star. There's no such thing. If I buy a field and I want to sell it back to the buyer, to the seller, the way you sell it back is not by giving him back the shtar. That's worthless. I go ahead and I bought the field. I bought a house from Reuven. Then Reuven goes, day later, Reuven says, you know, I changed my mind. I want to buy it back. I say, okay, listen, I'll be nice to you. You can buy it back. I know I don't really mind. I'll give it back to you. Okay, here's the shtar back and you give me back the money. That don't work.
Would it work even for the Shiva?
It has to be a new star. This star was a star Kenyan. I don't think this is a star Raya. It's a star Kenyan. So you need a new star Kenyan.
Why would the Shiva work by going back to the seller if you sell it back to him? The Shiva already, would it work with the Shiva?
Maybe it would work, because I don't know. I don't know enough the keys. There's a lot of engoyim in the chasim mishubadim. So it could be, as long as either they got Baal HaChayrim new ones, you probably also don't collect from Mishubadim, because it's the Chayrim is on the Guf, the Shiba like Guf. Okay, let's read Rashi. Okay. So let me just read one more line more. It says, Yochi ben Azikin Nami, name of Yochi, and therefore they say Geshagah, which means Ad Yochi Maizkin, which means the Gemara, what's interesting, the Gemara says, Ada Hokai Maiskin and the Yasmi. The Gemara doesn't say, if I was writing the Gemara, I would have said, Ihochi bin Ezekiel Nami. And what this proves is that the Svara of Ishatkis is a bad Svara. Because if your Svara of Ishatkis is a good Svara, so Ihochi bin Ezekiel Nami. Must be that the Svara of Ishatkis is not a right Svara. That's what
that it's a valid Svara.
What?
There's other Bikias that it's a valid Svara. We have the Makhul.
Okay, so but you see, I don't need Bikias. I have it right here. The fact that the Gemara says, Ada Hokamaskina Biyasmi, the Gemara is trying to explain why it's not a valid Svara. And the reason why it's not a valid Svara is Yasmi, which means the Gemara is assuming as a Dover Pashit that it's Klor, that it's a good Svara. You know, it's not debatable. You couldn't say that Ella, it must be, it's not a good svara. That's not debatable. Ishat, because even though the Gemara ends up that that's not Shan the Brisa, that's only because it doesn't sit in, and therefore the Brisa must be talking about Yasmi, and by Yasmi you can't do Ishatkas. But in Svara, by a normal person, the Gemara comes out, Halacha the Maisa, that Ishatkas is a correct Svara. And what it would do is, by Nezikin, it would move you down to Beinonis. By a Balchoyev, it would also move you to the Beinonis. And by Ksubas Isha, we move you down to Zipuris. That's what it seems. Because the Gemara doesn't ask on Ksubas Isha. The Gemara only asks on the Zikin. Hello, Shimon. We see a new, okay, so we're starting a new Suga of Ishatkas. Okay. Anyway, so let's get should we read Rashi?
Hey, Rebbe, just so you can, if I can just, I mean, Rebbe was saying that it doesn't make sense to give a gift, but like, as Rebbe pointed out, either way, this guy's losing money because he doesn't assume the seller is going to have money for him. So he might as well give the guy a gift and then save his better field than not give a gift, lose his fields and end up with nothing.
Maybe, but that's debatable because he might be hoping that the guy will have money later, you know?
Again, presumably the field was sold back Rias, so therefore he's going to have a claim against the owner when.
He's hoping to get paid back. Okay, that's
it. Well, what if it means that he returns all the three stars and then takes them back in the order, or is it burst to the last? You're just adding it's just you know.
That's not what the Gemara says, right? Does he know Madrin is charged if he buries the Mare? Doesn't say Madrin all the three stars. I don't know it. I'm not a bucky in order to be shining, and maybe someone says like you, but the simple reading of the Gemara is not like you. The simple reading is that he's only a Madrin and Shtara of the Ziburis. Okay, let's see Rashi. Please, let's see Rashi. Gimbo Yamit, 3 days. Because since, again, we're talking about that there's no man in the star, so unless there will be 3 days, they would all be chal pash at the same time, whatever. They should all go to the last field, which they weren't in the Hamina thought the last field was Hiburis. So he has a preference to file denial. What if he has a preference, but it's not up to him? Ligbo mi ijis, kalaimar mi ijis shenishra bas chayrim, debes lakuchis, behuta shibu dot out. I don't know what Rashi's saying, kalaimar, that seems to be pashim shat, that you should go to the ijis that was the last field that was sold, and that's where the shiba is on. So he says, ilo madrina nishtar di ziburah samare. Because then you'll have to go back and collect from this. In other words, so even though Rashi seems to answer someone's question that if you would return the field, we're not sure, but if it means that he acquires a new field, assuming that shot, so even then the din would be ain it from in a chaz mishubadim b'makom sheish b'nei chayrim. Okay, we can stop there in the Rashi. Okay, so the million-dollar shaila is, what in the world is this svara? The svara is, I could do this, but you didn't do it. So, it's very nice you could. So, but till you do it, you didn't do it. So what kind of halacha is this? So the guy can say, I could do this. Okay, when you do it, you do it. Well, worry about it when you do it. Meanwhile, you haven't done it. So the din is, called man, you didn't do it. You have to pay from Ijis, because that's the last field. Well, I could do this. Okay, so if you did it, very nice. But you didn't do it. So why should the halacha be that before you do it, you don't have to pay interest because you could do it? What in the world is that svara, right? If it's blackmail, what kind of svara? You can blackmail a person. Apidin, you're supposed to pay interest, but you blackmail him. But that sounds like geneva, right? Blackmail is geneva. You go and you tell the guy, take less than is coming to you, because if you want, because if not, I'm going to hurt you. And I have the ability to hurt you. Okay, you have the ability to hurt me, but meanwhile, this is what you owe me. Meanwhile, I have a right, the all three people can say, we have a right to the interest. So yeah, well, if I want, I can go ahead and mess you up. Okay, very nice, but you didn't mess us up yet. So right now, we want interest. So well, I'm blackmailing you. So first of all, what if they say we don't agree to the blackmail and they don't, it doesn't sound like they have a choice in the matter. And it doesn't sound like, you know, and is that legally mutter? Is that mutter to do to blackmail people? To go ahead and to, when you to pay shalom kadin the wrong amount because you have the guy blackmail? You know, that sounds, I know someone who, you know, okay, that someone that he was working for a company and the company basically went bankrupt. And or bank, whatever, or he was, it could be a shiva, a club, whatever it was, and they owed him a lot of back pay. They said, listen, take half your back pay and write us a you're meichel the whole thing, or else we're not gonna pay you anything. You know? So that's blackmail. You know, we only have limited amounts of money, we're not paying everybody, so we'll pay you half if you accept it and if you would write you're meichel the whole thing. You can't do that.
Places, people, corporations, other things do settle for 50 cents on the dollar all the time.
Right, but isn't that geneva? You owe me a dollar. So I say, well, listen.
It's agreeing that I'm putting you to the front of the line, baby. Merkel the rest.
Okay. To me, it's, again, I'm not a businessman.
That's standard business practice all the time. People owe money to hospitals or whatever for hospital bills. All the times they tell you, if you agree to pay it all now, we'll give you whatever discounts. Is that better if they say it's a discount? We'll give you a 50% discount if you pay it all upon now. You know, like, is that different? Right. Is that better?
Is that right? I go to the hospital. The hospital gives me a bill of $10,000. I don't pay. And they keep on sending me, you know, supposed to pay $10,000. Say, okay, listen, I'll tell you what we'll do for you. We'll let you go for $5,000. Okay, great.
If you're talking about
interest, but they're at $5,000 now, then maybe $10,000 down the road.
I understand, but for the person that's doing it, it doesn't sound honest. You know, I don't think the Shiva would have approved.
Our minds just poisoned?
When people sell their credit card debt for 20 cents on the dollar, it's done all the time.
Debt collectors all the time. They sell the debts for 30 or 40 cents on the dollar.
That's Gentile debt. I mean, what are you comparing? You're talking about people who are lending money knowing that a certain...
That sounds dishonest. You know, you run up, you buy something and you owe the guy, and then you bedavka don't pay, and then you force him to accept less money. I don't know. It doesn't sound honest. I'm sorry.
It's probably different if the person proposing is the one who owes or the person proposing is the one who's owed.
I don't think, I'm not saying that, you know, after the fact that listen, the guy would be happy, okay, but it doesn't sound like it's really,
If it's planned l'chadchila. But if it's not planned l'chadchila, and the fact is I can't afford it. So you can tell them, sometimes they'll tell like this. They say, if you want, do payments, or we'll settle the bill at 50% if you pay it all at once.
Okay, I hear. I probably would grab it. But it doesn't sound like, okay, for sure, l'chadchila, you know. In this case, it's l'chadchila. The guy has the money. The guy has, in our Gemara, the guy could pay from the interest. You say, but if you don't cooperate with me, I'm going to mess you up. You know, I don't know. That Hashem Shah, this is Geneva.
The guy pretending he didn't have idiots. He don't say he pretends he doesn't have idiots, and therefore he only pays them in Ziburis.
That's also Geneva Shishtek.
Does this make less sense than a Migui?
Migui is, of course, Migui makes sense. Migui is a ride, I'm telling the truth. So you're telling the truth, but here, you really owe idiots. You owe idiots because that's what the sheba's on. You say, but I could do something to mess you up, but you didn't do it. So meanwhile, so you owe Egypt. So what?
Maybe one, just one point as far as maybe like, you know, break in a little bit is that the idea of each of them being awarded Ibis, Benis, or Ziburis relationship to the original, to the person who they who had the obligation, meaning the person who bought the property, he doesn't owe that to them. He's buying property from this other person.
Okay, but the Maisa, the Shibur was transferred to that last field. So for whatever reason, their Shibur was on the Egypt.
I'm just trying to say, like, I'm just saying as far as the principle, the underlying principle isn't inherently applicable to the new holder of the property.
Okay. All right. But I don't hear it yet. To me, I don't know.
I'm not saying that suffices to explain. I mean, as far as like starting point, the guy's not just ripping them off.
Okay. And let's see Tysus. The very, very, very difficult time. So let's see Tysus. So Tysus has a kasha. Avo gav the belavo chisha gav yemizi buris. Mikola gom no motzi in the memrele, the chita hader, kivide mafkiya kaicha. Avo balcho gom motzi in the memrele, the chita hader, very, very difficult Isis. I read the whole thing. That's why it was so Shemachaya. Tzivos has a kasha. Why by Isha Vilavoki Gobi Isha Mizipuris? So that means Tysus understood in his Havamina. He obviously, Tysus in his Havamina, has an understanding of what the Sfar of Ishatkas is. Right? Tysus doesn't walk in and say, I don't understand what the Sfar of Ishatkas is. Doesn't say that. Tysus obviously understands the Sfar of, that it's some kind of blackmail or something sort of. And he's saying that if you're going to knock the person down to Ziburis, based on this svara, it doesn't make sense, right? So Tzivos has an understanding on the svara, and he understands that that svara would never push you to ziburis. That's Tzivos is havamina. Push of shot is because the whole svara is blackmail, and there's by knocking me to Ziburis, you're not blackmailing me because I don't stand anything to lose by calling your bluff because, you know, well, you're anyway only offering me Ziburis. So Tzivos and his Havamina, we don't know exactly what this svara is, but Tzivos understood the svara and he felt that the svara would never go ahead and work to let you get Ziburis. So therefore he has a problem. So how come by Isha it knocked you down to Ziburis? So he gives an answer, which I don't know what it is. Kivin shame afkia kaicha. So now Tzivos gives an answer. So now then the Tzivos continues. Avo balchayt. So this don't make no sense. The next two lines of Tzivos makes absolutely no sense. Why do the next two lines of Tzivos make no sense? Well, let someone tell me. And that they make no sense. They should be crossed out.
The next line is obvious. I mean, there never was a question why you could say Ishaskis is by the Balkov.
In other words, if Tzivos in his Havamina, the whole Tzivos Havamina was that Ishaskis can never knock you down to Ziburis. So Tzivos problem is, how does Baksuvas Isha knock you down to Ziburis? Teretz is some special svara, aim afkia gaicha. Okay, so that means that by about five, we go back to Tzivos' Havamina, where Ishatkis can never knock you down to Ziburis, right? Because that's what Tzivos held in the Havamina. Tzivos' Havamina was that it's a davar pashut, that Ishatkis can never knock you down to Ziburis. So Tzivos' problem is, so how come by an Isha it goes knocks you down? Teretz is, because it's Eim Afkia Kaifa. Okay, so Baal Chai, where you don't have that Svar of Emaf Kiya Kaicha, so you go back to Taifis as Avamina. But now, so, okay, you say that's what Abba Baal Chai, Lamas in a Meimar, the Nishko Seburis, Mitam Nishatkes, the Kivim of Kiya Kaicha, Matsi Amarei Nechita Hadr. So Ashtanami, Mitziburis, Adar Raisei Lo, it's like, I mean, okay, that's what Taifa says, but the whole thing is like so, you know, there's no, it's just redundant of redundant. That's the most obvious thing in the world. If Taifa is in his Havamina held, that Ishatkas can't knock you down to Ziburis. And his answer is, the only reason it can knock you down from the Ziburis is because of Emaf Kiya Kaifa. I don't know what that answer is. So then, obviously, by about five, you can't knock the guy down to Ziburis because that is Emaf Kiya Kaifa. So there's nothing to say, right? That's what you're saying. There's no, it's not like Taifas has a problem. Taifas always understood. Taifas in his Havamina, before Taifas started, he understood Baal Chayiv. He only had a problem with Ksuvas Isha. So once you answer Ksuvas Isha, so Baal Chayiv is like, you always understood Baal Chayiv. So it's a very strange Taifas. Besides, we don't understand the Svaras. You know, I don't know what the Svaras are. But just the way Taifas is written, the superficial reading of Taifas is that once Taifas says this Svara of Kivin She'em Afkiya Kaicha, so somehow or another that creates a problem by Baal Chayiv too. And that's why Taifas has to keep on talking.
Is there a tzad to say that I had a Havamina that by Baal Chayiv there's also no Mafkiya Kaicha?
Why with Mafkiya Kaicha? What is Mafkiya? Why is he Ksuvas Isha no Mafkiya Kaicha? Because her din is Yiburis. Baal Chayiv, your din is Beninus. What else could you say?
Can we bring in the Doraisa level in?
Ah, but Baal Chayiv is going to be down there. The king Mafkiya Kaicha. I mean, that's what is mechadesh.
I don't know. Can you say that he's mechadesh? That I want to know. You might think that there is no mafkiya kocho. I want to know that it is mafkiya kocho.
I mean, it's a simple.
Very chaser is lashon. You know, he says the kivin the mafkiya kocho. Doesn't sound like he's being mechadesh as mafkiya kocho. It just says the kivin. The kivin sounds like that the facts are given. He just. Explaining, it's just applying it.
I mean, maybe it's a hashtasi shapir, meaning that now that he explained that the reason why you can't say lechiti hadar is because of makia kocho, now he understands how the Gemara only asked from Nezikin and didn't ask from Baal Chayiv.
But he should have always understood why they asked from Baal Chayiv. Whatever. Davis and his Havamina, the mashmos of Davis is that his only problem was Suvas Isha. Because how can you knock the person down to Ziburis? That means Baal Chayiv, he understands. That by Baal Chayiv, you do knock him down to Beinus, that makes sense.
But the Gemara's question of Nizokin is asking to knock you down. So once the Gemara is asking to knock you down, then for what reason didn't the Gemara ask also with relevance to Baal Chayiv?
Because it's Baal Chayiv simple, because of Gupa Taivis' Kasha. Because Balav Hachi Gavim is Ziburis. Right? That's Taivis' problem. Taifas's problem is you can't knock a guy down when it's anyway. The whole story is a blackmail. There's Balav Ochi Gavi, so there's no blackmail. That was Taifas's Havamina. So obviously, by Baal Chayiv, you can't knock the guy down more than to Ziburis. Edomai, Taifas, by Isha, comes up with a special svara because Emaf Kiya Kaicha, which I have no idea what that svara is. So, okay, so, but that's only applies to Isha, not by Baal Chayiv. So the whole Arichas of Taisis, besides the fact that I don't know what, in other words, I don't know what this answer is, Kivin Emaf Kiya Kaicha, but, you know, I don't know, I guess we should discuss that too. Pashup Shat, in a certain sense, you are being Emaf Kiya Kaicha, because al bidin she's supposed to get from Idris. She's not supposed to get from Idris. I mean, in other words, it's mafkia kaicho, because when you're collecting from me, you're not collecting from me b'tayrek suvis isha. You're collecting from me b'tayras, you know, I you're not my wife. I didn't divorce you. I don't owe you the money. You're collecting from me because of the shibud is in there. So the shibud is on the edges. I don't know why it's not called not mafkia kaicha. I don't know what kind of svara, and I don't know what kind of svara that is either. So what if it's not mafkia kaicha? But she is supposed to get from edges. The only way you get rid of her from edges is because you're blackmailing her. She says this is not a blackmail. You're not threatening me.
I'm just having a little trouble. Can we go over to this kasha? I'm a little lost.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Parshat Shad. We are on. We don't know what this part of Ishatkis is. The simple reading even is that it's some form of blackmail. Now we don't like that because Ayman is claiming that blackmail is Geneva, even though Binyamin Simon says that that's what business do today. But it still sounds to me like it's
blackmail. I didn't say it's not blackmail. It's making a condition. It's settling a debt.
Okay. Anyway, to me, it sounds like blackmail.
It's why they charge 20% interest, because they know they're going to lose a lot of money from the smart people who are going to settle their debt.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Business.
So the Maisa, so we don't know. But the Pashup shot in the Gemara is that it's some kind of blackmail, right? That's some kind of shot. They said, listen, really, I owe you to pay Idris, because after the bought Achreina. But I could go ahead and mess you up good. So B, let's make a deal. You know, either, you know, if you don't live out there and what's coming to you, I'm going to mess you up. So the person agrees, even though it doesn't say they agree, but they somehow, there's a force agreement because they want to avoid the blackmail. But blackmail is only works if what you're blackmailing me is like you can make things worse for me, but you can't threaten me. You better accept Ziburis, because if you don't cooperate, I'm going to make you get Ziburis. Okay, so you're not scaring me. Worst comes to worst, I'll get Ziburis. Why should I agree? I'm supposed to get Idris. I'll demand Idris. You say, well, if you don't take Ziburis, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to return the shtar to the Mariah. And then you know what's going to happen? You're going to get Ziburis. Okay, so I'm not losing anything by asking for my edges. If you return Stardom Araya, I'll get to Ziburis. Okay, I'll get Ziburis. Why should I agree to it now? Right. So that seems to be Tavis's Kasha. Tavis's Kasha seems to be that there's no logical reason why the person should agree by Ksuvas Isha, because she stands nothing to gain by agreeing. By Baal Choy, if he stands something to gain, he's going to now get Bainanus, and if he doesn't agree, he'll get knocked down to Ziburis. But by Ksuvas Isha, where you want to anyway knock her down to Ziburis, so there's nothing, no reason why she should agree, so it's not a blackmail. The two options are equal. What you're threatening to do and what you're asking her to do, to give me $100, or else if you don't, I'm going to take $100 from you. I know. You know, if the guy comes in a protection agency, says, I'm going to burn down your store unless you give me $100. That's a good threat. He said, I'm going to burn down your store unless you burn it down yourself. Not like, well, no, that doesn't scare. And I guess why should I bother doing it myself? And if you burn it, you burn it. I didn't save anything by doing it myself, right? So that's Davis's Gasha. So there's no threat. So that means, the Tavis understands by a Baal Choy, Tavis understands. Because over there is a good threat. His only problem is that by Isha, there's no threat. So his answer is, because Eim Afkia Kaicha. Now we have no idea what that answer is, because, what do you mean Eim Afkia Kaicha? It is Mafkia Kaicha because she's supposed to get Idris. And why doesn't she get idjit? The only way she's not losing idjit is because you're blackmailing her. And she's not blackmailed. So we don't know what the answer is. What, how did Taibis answer the kasha? She's supposed to get idjit. Edema, you're blackmailed, but Taibis kasha is not a valid blackmail by her. So what's the answer? I have no idea what his answer is. But so we have two problems on Taibis. One problem is we have no idea what Taibis' answer is. What's the answer of Emaftia Kaicha? And two, even if you come along and explain what the answer is, okay, so Taibis comes up with some new svar of Emaftia Kaicha. But Taibis in his question understood that blackmail doesn't work to knock you down to Zipuris. So by a Baal Chayv, Taibis has no problem. Baal Chayv, you can't knock the Baal Chayv down to Zipuris. That was Taibis' whole kasha. Taibis' whole kasha, the whole premise of his Havamina, was you can't knock the guy down to Zipuris. So by Ksuvah Zisha came up with some funny svara, which we don't know what it is, but not Mafkia Kaicha. So by a Baal Chayv, you don't have that svara. So therefore, Baal Chayv should be fine. So what in the world is Taibis' Hamsha? So it's really two things, just to leave off suffering for next week. First of all, we have to figure out what the Svara of Ishatkis is. Why is it a legal Svara? Why is it a dim? What if the guy says, listen, Tafla, I don't agree. Can the person, if he wants to take a gamble, is he allowed to say, I don't agree? Can he say, can the Isha say, listen, I'll take my gamble. I'll take my chances. Can the Baal Chayv say, I'll take my chances?
Tosa says she can't.
Hear you.
Tosa says she can't.
Yeah. What about Baal Chayv? Could the Baal Chayv say, I'll take my chances? I don't know. In other words, I'd like to know what in the world is this svara of Isha Hatkes. I have no idea what this svara is. Second of all, I surely don't understand that by Ksuvah Zisha. What's Taibis' answer? No Mafkia Kaicha. Of course you're being Mafkia Kaicha. She's supposed to get idjit. For whatever reason, she's supposed to get idjit. And now, based on this svara, you're giving her Zipuris. And why should she get Zipuris? What if she has nothing to lose? So what in the world is this? So we don't know what the whole svara of Ishatkis is. We don't know what the svara of No Mafkia Kaicha is. So these are two svaras problems. We don't know what the hemshach of Taisis, why Taibis has to discuss the case about Chayv. And okay, the other question, which in the beginning of the year, is we just don't even know what the case is. What does Madrin and Shtar mean? Does it mean that I'm going to sell it or I'm just going to fake it? Right? We weren't sure about that either. So a lot of things we don't know. So it seems, just the research, I don't know, Shamir, you're our research man. Who talks about it?
I don't know. I have to open up my tech. I don't know.
I see there's a Rosh here, and a Gosha Shri, and a Muga Yaisei. I didn't get past that yet. So I only looked at the Gemara. So I looked like we'll probably do the Rosh and that Gosha Shri, and then maybe also the Muga Yaisei.
I mean, there's a major milchemis, that's a little tangential, but it gets to the ikar of the svara. Big machlok is Rishonim in the ikar of svara.
The milchemis, I'm afraid of. Milchemis is our too hard svara safer to read for whatever reason. We'll see. If we have to read a milchemis, we'll have to read a milchemis. For some reason, milchemis are very hard. Last we did was in Gittin. We spent like 6 months on the Ede Mesira de Chasima. It was you guys, when I was in Rabbi Findel's share in high school in 12th grade, we spent, believe goodness, 6 months on Ede Chasida Ede Mesira. I don't know, maybe I probably am exaggerating, but not so much. We did the entire Melchemes, entire Balmor, entire Ran, entire. We just read all the Rishayim, all the 50 different sheets. That was the share. All right.